So nice to have you back, Gerald, on this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And let's get started with what's going on in the United States. Right now, we have at the UN, we have a lot of leaders coming and talking about the conflicts, mostly in Ukraine and in the Middle East. But when it comes to Ukraine, do you understand what would be the official policy of the United States right now? At one hand, we're hearing that Bloomberg reported that they're thinking of putting some sort of pressure on Zelensky to put an end to the conflict. On the other hand, we're hearing that Stoltenberg is talking about we have to improve the situation of Ukraine on the battlefield in order to make to improve their position in terms of peace talk. How do you find it right now?
I believe that they're going to continue to escalate the Ukraine war. And the United States government is for it. And so is the United Kingdom and most of Europe. Matter of fact, you look at that Meloni in Italy. At first she was against it. Now she's for the war. And it's the military industrial complex that's running the show. And we just had Zelensky here, or he's here now, talking to Biden to get more weapons. And he was in Pennsylvania a few days ago. And this is from the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro. Quote, "Pennsylvania is the birthplace of American freedom. And our Commonwealth proudly stands with the people of Ukraine as they fight for their freedom against naked aggression. I'm proud to welcome President Zelensky and his delegation to Scranton." You're in Scranton because that's where they make these Horwitzer shells, that military shells that they're going to keep sending to Ukraine. And this little clown boy, Shapiro, signing the shell, putting his name on it and making a message. So he'll be very happy when those shells kill maybe innocent people or soldiers or whatever. This is not the Commonwealth of America, because once upon a time that most people don't talk about or forget, there was a man, not like these little boys playing president, by the name of George Washington, a guy that fought. Oh, Washington across the Delaware, all these stories, right? His farewell address. "It is our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliance with any portion of the foreign world." Excuse me. "Observe good faith and justice toward all nations. Cultivate peace and harmony with all. The nation which indulges toward another in habitual hatred or an habitual fondness is in some degree a slave. It is a slave to its animosity or to its affection, either of which is sufficient to lead it astray from its duties and its interests. The founding fathers," this crap has been going on for thousands of years. It's none of our business and we're not going to fix it. And if anybody with a mind bigger than a pea could figure this one out, look at the great job America's military has done since World War II. Last war they won, which they would not have won without the Soviet Union, who was the first to defeat the Germans after 25 million plus were killed by the Germans in Operation Barbarossa. And according to John F. Kennedy's speech at American University in June of 1963, no nation suffered more during World War II than the Soviet Union. They lost their homes, their factories, their farms, their land, the equivalent of Chicago East. So now you got America getting involved in all these wars when it couldn't beat the Vietnamese. They couldn't beat the Iraqis. They couldn't beat the Taliban. Are you going to beat the Russians? Oh, no, no. We're ready to fight the Chinese. Oh, with the largest naval force in the world, 1.4 billion people, an advanced military. Oh, you're going to beat the Russians? Ukraine's going to beat the Russians? Napoleon went to Moscow with what? 420,000 troops he left Poland with? Came back with 10,000? Hitler, Operation Barbarossa, as I said, killed over 25 million Russians. They were the first to beat the Germans. And Ukraine is going to... We got maniacs in charge. That little Stoltenberg, an arrogant little boy. They're all so arrogant. When you call these men out, man to man, as we say in the Bronx, they don't know whether to piss or shit. They're only little tough boys behind the scene. They're not men. They're not fighters. They're sick cowards who only love war. And they're ramping it up and are going to keep ramping it up, is my forecast.
Yeah. And in your opinion, are they really considering just the ideological part of their mindset? Because when you look at the battlefield right now, what's going on between Ukraine and Russia, you don't see any sort of situation for Ukraine that they're going to get better. Because as long as this war is going on, Ukraine would lose more land, more soldiers, and the situation, the future of Ukraine would be much more difficult. But it doesn't seem even the Zelensky administration, and do they really consider their future? Do they really have any sort of future in their mind for their country? Because at the end of the day, we're not talking about the United States, Russia, European Union. They have to consider their country, the future of their country. How do you find their mindset? It's not all about United States, European, Russia. It's about Ukrainians as well.
This is from Financial Times, September 24th. Russia's eastern offensive overwhelms tired and weakened Ukraine forces. So there's no way they're going to win. And they never talk about, what did Russia take over, about 20% of the land already? Is that right? They're not getting it back. There's no way they're going to keep it. I'm telling you, you have evil people in charge. You know, my magazine, the Trends Journal, I'm the publisher. It used to be a quarterly. You see how happy that guy is? It's the United States overthrow of the democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych in Ukraine in 2014. Here's the article. Washington is driving the world to the final war. And that picture, that's the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, Barack Obama. This article is written by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Treasury Secretary under Ronald Reagan. Washington concluded that Russia needed to be confronted with or distracted by problems that would leave the Russian government less confident or able to conquer Washington's aggression elsewhere. Ukraine presented the perfect opportunity for Washington to advance its hegemonic agenda. In a speech at the National Press Club last December, which is December 2013, and anybody could Google this up so you could hear it. Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland boasted that Washington had invested $5 billion in non-governmental organizations in Ukraine to, quote, teach democracy. People have no idea of the United States overthrow. They don't have a clue. And they don't know the why it had. One of the reasons was when the Soviet Union broke up, Ukraine went broke. They needed money. They made a deal with the EU and the IMF. And Putin said, listen, I got a better deal for you. I'm going to give you lower interest rates, and I'm going to cut the price of your oil and gas. He said, okay, we'll go with you. No, you won't. No, you won't. This, again, we cover the world. We show what's going on. We say, this is what's being reported. This is our analysis. This is our forecast. Same article. How, again, going back to George Washington, what he was saying, observe good faith and justice toward all nations, cultivate peace and harmony with all, don't have an habitual hatred or habitual fondness. We've had an habitual hatred toward Russia all my life. I'm born in 1946. When I'm a kid, in kindergarten, first grade, they had us hiding under a desk in case an atom bomb went off that the Russians were going to drop. They taught us to hate the Russians all my life. And the stupidity of that, you're under a desk. If an atom bomb goes off, you think you're going to, what is it going to do? It's the same thing like these politicians made up that thing. Stand 6 feet apart so COVID doesn't get you. Because the wind blows exactly in straight lines. Every 6 feet stops right there. And when you get in that airplane, you better put on that mask. But when you're eating and drinking, you take it off because COVID knows when you're eating and drinking, it won't bother you. All right, that's the same sick mentality. When I was a kid in high school, you had a standing like this against the wall in case an atom bomb went off. And then they say, and if you see a flash, don't look at it. If I see a flash, I'll be dead in a second. All right, the habitual hatred. So going back, and how they had this habitual hatred going. Same magazine. We did an article here. The Sochi Olympics was going on. You see the picture. We say, leading up to the Sochi Olympics, media and the government officials warned of looming terror attacks, hotels in disrepair, filthy yellow drinking water, and homophobes everywhere. The propaganda campaign primed Americans to view Russia unfavorably. This is before it all happened. So they set the stage to hate Russia, telling people not to go to the Olympics. And again, we write the facts. Security expert, it's not if, but when for Sochi Olympics terror attack. Veteran security consultant Bill Rathborn hopes that he's wrong about the upcoming Winter Olympics in Russia, but he has more than a hunch that he's not. Quote, the security threat is higher than it's ever been in the history of the Olympic Games, Rathborn said. In my opinion, it's not a matter of whether there's going to be some kind of incident. It's just a matter of how bad it's going to be. Of course, there wasn't any, but they set the stage for the hatred of Russia prior to the overthrow of the Yanukovych government. That's how the media works. They're prostitutes, media whores that get paid to put out by their corporate pimps and their government whoremasters. So that's what they're going to continue to do. Keep selling the program of hate. You got a little clown boy to Shapiro. Oh, he was an IDF volunteer, too. I can't forget that. Signing a death weapon. How demonic, how evil can you be? Oh, how about another arrogant little clown lady, Nikki Haley, who ran for president. Signing when she went to Israel. Signing a missile or a weapon, finish them. Kill all the Palestinians. Finish them. That's what she signed on it. All right? So there's no common sense here. You don't ask a murderer or a thief why they're murderers and thieves. It's who they are.
In your opinion, who's going to control this type of behavior at the end of the day in the United States, because we have to have some sort of policies to control these people. And right now we've learned, if you last week we had this meeting between Joe Biden and Starmer, in which they were talking about sending long-range missiles to Ukraine. It seems that Pentagon has decided, was forced, Pentagon forced Joe Biden not to send long-range missiles to Ukraine. And in this decision, Anthony Blinken and Jake Sullivan were not part of this decision. This decision was made in the Pentagon.
Right.
And do you see the people, these military people, are getting much more active because of the threat that we are witnessing right now between a nuclear war, a big war between the United States and NATO on one side and Russia on the other side, which would hugely influence the world economy, everything, everybody on this planet?
That'd be the end of life on Earth if we go to nuclear war. People should, if they're interested, listen to John F. Kennedy, his speech to graduating students at American University in June of 1963. It's all about peace. And he says that, he talks about how the Russians suffered more than anybody, 25 million of them killed, the Soviet Union, on and on. He said, if we go to war with the Soviet Union, life on Earth will be eliminated within 24 hours. That was 1963. It'll be the end of life on Earth. And these stupid people building bomb shelters. Oh, yeah, life is going to be so wonderful, with the world. No, this is serious stuff. And again, you're right about, I read that as well, about the Defense Department not putting Blinken or that other little boy in there, Sullivan, and saying to hold back on the weapons. But I think it's going to keep moving through one way or another. I think the wars are going to just keep escalating. And you talked about that little clown boy Starmer over there in the UK. What is his speech the other day? He said that that Hamas has to release all the sausages rather than hostages. Call them sausages. I mean, just to show you this. Again, you're talking about America. What are they? 19% of the people voted for that guy. That's all in the UK. Now, there's no democracy, republics, they're dead. It's a crime syndicate that's running the government. We need a whole new government in there. There are so few people in there of true honor, like Massey and a few others. But other than that, they're all little. I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate at 26 years old. And I was on the inside. I have a picture of me when I picked up Ronald Reagan at the Chicago Hilton at 30 years old and put on a brunch for 16 of our board of directors. I've been with the president, the prime minister, the prince of Norway, the prime minister of the UK. I've seen it. I've been on the other side. And the people I get in politics are the lowest pieces of scum you could imagine. That's why I quit. Eisenhower, 5-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces. Google it up. Any man seeking the office of president is either an egomaniac or crazy.
Yeah. Is there any way that you can think of that would make peace affordable for us? Or with the current situation in the United States is not achievable anytime soon?
It's achievable if it's up to the people. I mean, I'm doing what I could do. Is, I'm having a peace rally this coming Saturday, September 28th. Go to Occupy Peace. I launched that movement over a decade ago. And so it's up to the people. If the people unite for peace, we'll have it tomorrow. I just did I just was on it for this group that's very much for peace. And it's a religious group. And I said to them, where are all the religions? I said, were the Quakers die in an earthquake? Where are all the Catholics? Where are all the Episcopalians? Where are all the religions? Could you imagine if all the religions were out there all the day after day, week after week, saying that we demand peace. We believe in the God that we pretend to believe in. Thou shalt not kill. We'd have peace tomorrow morning. We'd have peace without a doubt, but not a peep from them. And imagine if the billionaires gave $1 billion for peace. We'd have peace tomorrow. People don't want war. Politicians want war. People want peace.
Yeah, the process of buying people into endless wars is pretty much amazing. And the way making hatred and these people, authorizing people and to go to war, and the same thing that we're witnessing in Ukraine right now and in the Middle East and maybe with China. And how do you find the conflict in the Middle East, and how is the United States handling the situation there?
Oh, by the way, the group I spoke to is called Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Peaceful Solution. Okay, Middle East war. Again, we only write about it in detail week after week. Go back, how many times did you hear the BS blowing out of Blinken's mouth that we're on the verge of a peace deal in the Middle East? Week after week after week after week after week after week. Then they would blame Hamas for not doing it, when the reality was Netanyahu doesn't want to do it. Didn't come out until the very end, until they stopped doing it. He wants that Philadelphia area. In other words, steal more Palestinian land. Oh, and we don't want a permanent ceasefire. We only want to get back the hostages, and then we're going to kill more people like they did after the first ceasefire. The minute it ended, boom, bombs away over Gaza. Killed, let's see, it's about 42,000 now officially. Lancet said about 125,000 would be dead. Destroyed about 80% of the place, schools, hospitals, mosques, churches, homes, because Hamas is living in every one of them. So it was all a bunch of crap about peace. You're asking the United States role in it. The United States keeps supplying the weapons of death. We just did a $20 billion deal for more weapons to keep slaughtering the people. And now going on to Lebanon and Hezbollah. Well, I just read you an article from part of it from the Financial Times, what they said about Russia taking over more territory and wearing down the Ukrainians. When they talk about Israel attacking Lebanon, every phrase used about to the people that they're attacking, they're, quote, militants. Hezbollah are militants. In one article, they used the term, I just lit this week, six times. Militants, militants? Huh, let me get this straight. Israel invaded Lebanon. How long were they there for? Oh, a decade or so. Oh, and Hezbollah united and threw them out in 2006. Well, that makes them terrorists. What the hell's the matter with you, Salenti? Don't you know that God gave them that land? Oh, yeah, it's in their comic book, chapter 6, section 8. I'm tired of hearing this crap about God gave you the land. F you. What if I don't believe in your God? Could you handle that? Could you handle that? I got to believe in your God? Hey, I'm not telling you to believe in my God. This isn't your land. You stole it in the Balfour Declaration. 1917. Right, in fact, wrote about it. in your trends journal. Here it is. Is that it? Nope. Crusades 2000, we called it. It was His Majesty's government declares that the land in Palestine will be settled by the Jewish people, and we will use our best endeavors to achieve this objective. His Majesty's government? Some murderous bastard from the UK where the sun never sets on the British Empire? Who the hell are you to say what should be going on in Palestine, the word that they used? Oh, I guess the Rothschilds paid you, if I forgot. They made up this crap. Oh, the United Nations declared it in what, 48, 1948? United, 60 countries. Who the hell are you to declare that this is land? And again, I'm tired of this crap being called an anti-Semite. Here it is. The people from, what, Ben-Gurion, the first guy there, all the way through to Netanyahu, they're all Ashkenazis. They're Eastern Europeans. The Palestinians are Semites. Semites are from the Mesopotamia region. Here's the article right here, Crusades 2000. This is 2006. While the seeds of Crusades 2000 had been planted in full view of the world, and all those watching could have anticipated the eventual harvest, the memories of what had happened and what would occur have been fogged by rigid ideology, fanatical religiosity, patriotic fervor, government propaganda, and ulterior motives. Regardless of what England's reasons or intentions were, self-serving or otherwise, Crusades 2000 was set in motion by the 1917 Balfour Declaration that laid the foundation for Israel. Quote, His Majesty's government views with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people, and we will use our best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this objective. Just what I had said. Who the hell are you to say this crap? Who the hell are you to say this? Oh, and I'm tired of the crap, too, that you're the chosen people. What, am I just a guinea from the Bronx? God doesn't choose people. The chosen people of God are the people of the highest spirit, the people that live in the intentions of the God that you believe in. Oh, that's not my language. That's from Naomi Wolf, a Jewish woman, who condemns this when they say that they're the chosen people. I mean, that's not her exact words, but that's the message that she puts out. You could look it up. So you have a bunch of arrogant, sick, draconian people running a country near you. It's not only there, it's everywhere.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
In your opinion right now, does the foreign policy of the United States consider any sort of concern coming out of the Middle Eastern countries? I'm talking about Iran, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, all these countries that are so important for the conflict in Gaza or in Lebanon, between Israel and Lebanon. Because at the end of the day, if they want to make some sort of deal, some sort of understanding between these two parties, all these countries should get together with the United States.
They get bored off. You just saw the deal Saudi Arabia did with and Turkey buying weapons and things. You know, if they all united, it would be over in a day. Once upon a time, they had an oil embargo back in 1973 when Israel attacked. I was a young guy back then. You had to wait an hour online to get gasoline. Inflation skyrocketing. They united. If the Arab nations united and united with Iran, the Persian nation, This thing will be over tomorrow. They're not uniting. They're not doing it. If they all they have to do is say we're cutting off the oil until the ceasefires. End of story. But no more cutting it off like they did. They had an embargo on the United States. So again, they're warmongers. Again, not my words, the words of Dwight D. Eisenhower, 5-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces, and 2-term president. He warns the American people that the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. And you had that little clown boy over there in Pennsylvania bragging that we're making these weapons in Scranton in Pennsylvania, and we're creating jobs. Our country is rotting in front of our eyes. You know, one of the foundation of Occupy Peace, we're in about 900 bases in about 90 countries. What the hell are we doing over there? Bring home the troops. Secure the homeland. Put them to work rebuilding our third world infrastructure. It's rotting in front of our eyes. The roads are a joke. Potholes everywhere. Homeless everywhere. People shooting up here everywhere. Right in front of your eyes. The country's rotting in front of our eyes. Go take a subway in New York. It's a night in Calcutta. Amtrak? How about Amcrap? Look at a shit rail compared to the high-speed rails in whether in Europe and China with their high-speed rails in Japan. Look at the crap we got here. We have to rebuild the nation. We're giving over $1 trillion a year when you put the defense, the security agencies into it. $1 trillion. Homeland Security. They made this crap up with 9/11. What the hell has Homeland Security done to secure our homeland? If we put $1 trillion every year into rebuilding the nation, creating jobs in a real way, you have to become a self-sufficient nation. And by the way, that's what happened with Russia. Little Joe Biden said when he put the sanctions on Russia that, quote, Putin's going to pay the price. Putin didn't pay the price. Their economy did great. They became more self-sustaining. They have the human and natural resources. They don't need McDonald's over there. They don't need foreign countries selling their stuff there. And America has the same thing. We have all the human and natural resources we need to be self-sustaining. And they're not going to do it. The only thing, by the way, to me that I can see is going to change this is a renaissance. That's what followed the Black Plague. The people were killing themselves with the sanitation, the filth, and just like they killing us with all the chemicals and the crap. They were doing the same thing in a different way. When they started to realize how they were killing themselves, they had the Renaissance. And they said in Italy, alla Romana et all'antica, in the manner of the Romans and the ancients, to describe the quality of their work. And that's what we have to go back to. Look at the quality of the work now. Look what shit. Look what shit buildings they built. Don't you like all that that steel and glass? look at the way people dress. There used to be a circus called the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. They went out of business. They were huge. You know why they went out of business? You don't have to step right up. See the fat man. See the tattooed lady. See the lady with the beard. You don't have to pay to see it anymore. They're out in the street everywhere. You got it? It's the decline of this country. This is one of my books. You know, these are some of my books. Trend Tracking, far better than Megatrends, Time Magazine, Trends 2000, international bestseller. One of them is called What Zizi Gave Honey Boy. Zizi is the Neapolitan dialect for auntie. There used to be a TV show, Everyone Loves Raymond. And the woman, Doris Roberts, playing the mother, the last starring role was playing my aunt. You get the movie on YouTube, Zizi and Honey Boy. But she died 15 minutes into the movie. I'm only mentioning this, I'm partially mentioning it, because talking about the style and grace. You really can't see this that good, but there's my parents' wedding, 1934. You see the way these people are dressed and what they look like. My father worked in a fish store. My uncles were laborers. My aunts worked in factories. The dignity, the style, the grace, the Buffets, the Gates, the Bezos, the Musks, couldn't come close to one person in that picture. And of course, if you want to get the book, you could go to our site, trendsjournal.com. Of everything I've written is my favorite because it was about the American spirit. Again, I'm born in 1946, right after the war, in the Bronx, a Napolitano from the Bronx, born to be free. The spirit is at the height. We just won at the top of the world. I get in a fight with my father, may rest in peace. You say, you little bastard, you think I'm telling you what I'm telling you because I want you to be like me? I want you to become yourself. You became yourself. I was a kid. I was a premature baby. My brother's over 6 feet. My sister's 5'8", 5'10", 5'9". I come home crying one day. I'm about 6 years old. My father, what are you crying about? I said, I got beat up. I was a little kid, so the bullies beat on the little kids. He looked at me. He said, you don't come home crying. And I became the toughest kid. Because the smallest, I'm the fastest. I'm on you right away, man. My fingers are through your eyes. My palm and heels going through your nose. I'll rip out your fucking carotid artery if you try to fuck with me. I only attack the attacker. And again, I taught close combat for many years. Black belt in it. It ain't bullshit. I'm a fighter. I'm not put on this earth to take orders from anybody. Who the hell are you to tell me what to do? And by the way, that's one of my t-shirts. See it?
Yeah.
And here's the back. And that's what the people have to be. I'm for peace. You only attack the attacker. I won't. Only attack the attacker. I know you don't get in a fight with anybody. You don't want to get in a fight. And I don't care how good you are. You never know what will happen. So you don't want to get in a fight. But I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior for the Prince of Peace. All these religions, again, where are they? Where are all the religions? How come they're not out in the street? Well, again, what God, you believe in those things, you call the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill?
Gerald, just to wrap up this session, you've mentioned that the Middle Eastern countries are capable of putting an end to the conflict between Israel and Gazans, between Israel and Hezbollah. But the other player that is much more important that every country, I would argue, are afraid of is the United States, and how they can put sanctions, how they can put pressure on these countries. But we know how important is the president of the United States in order to put an end to the conflict in the Middle East. They can do it by a single call.
Yep.
And talk with Netanyahu. And when would be that moment that we can get this call from the United States? Is that possible in the near future?
I don't see it happening at all. Don't see it happening at all. Again, AIPAC runs the nation. Look how they condemn students for protesting in colleges. Anybody that comes out against Israel is called an anti-Semite. How about Rome? They just banned, just came out today, October 5th. We're going to have pro-Palestinian demonstrations. They banned them. They're banning them all over. It's not the United States of America. It's the USSA, the United Soviet States of America. Again, not only at the war front, You don't believe my crap. You have no right to think for yourself. I'm in charge. I'm your politician. Again, I wasn't put on this. You know, I mean, I obey the laws, you know, in terms of, you know, thou shalt not kill, this and that and that and this, you know, stealing. But don't give me your orders of what I got to believe in. You go to war. Who the hell are you to tell me what to do? Again, anybody that wants to support the Israel war, the Ukraine war, all you politicians, go over there and fight. Send your wife, send your kids, send your transgenders and everybody else. Send your money. Go over there or shut your mouth. I'm telling you, we could have peace tomorrow, like that. Again, if the religions united for peace, be here in a flash.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I just want to mention in this book, the opening part of it, in the movie that they did, is how I got banned from all the media. When I said we'd lose the Afghan war and that we had no right going into the Iraq war. I used to be on Oprah, The Today Show, Good Morning America, everybody, Fox, all of them, BBC, ABC, CBS, NPR, over and over and over and over and over again. But there's a guy that just died, Phil Donahue. Phil Donahue had a big TV station, show. They took him off during the Iraq war because he was pro-peace. You're not allowed to be pro-peace. It's a dirty word. This is demonic. And again, this has been going on for centuries. As I say, what's your favorite war? You like the Peloponnesian War? Oh, no, I like the 100-Year War. Well, the War of Roses was lovely. All right? And now we're at a point where we have weapons of true mass destruction. Look what happened with the pager attack that Israel did. It's new millennium warfare, and we've just seen the start of it. And by the way, when I came out with that book, Trends 2000, I was asked to do his talk at Virginia Military Institute. I was the keynote speaker because I talked about in 2000, 24 years ago, new millennium warfare. And here we are. If we don't have peace on earth, it's going to be hell on earth. And the people could stop it if we unite. Simple as that. How'd the Berlin Wall come down? People went there, they didn't leave. More people came, they didn't leave. More people came, they didn't leave. Day after day, week after week, more and more people until they outnumbered the guys in their costumes that were holding guns by about 10,000 to one. Whoop, the guns come down, wall comes down. And people could do it. It's only up to the people.
Thank you so much, Gerald, for being with us today. Great pleasure to talk with you again.
Thank you. And again, go to OccupyPeace.com, OccupyPeace.com, for more information. And please donate what you can, because we can't do this on our own. If you're for peace, you know, put your money where your heart is. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.